Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, I'm not hearing myself. Let's try this other mic. Put that other mic over here. There we go. Okay. All right, there we go. Okay, I'm going to try another microphone here. We're playing around with the other studio this morning here, checking out some equipment, things like that, having a little bit of fun mixing things up. But, yeah, the horses are back. Lawrence Jones from Fox & Friends, he sent out a great photo of him riding along with our Border Patrol agents down on the southern border on horseback. What a great guy Lawrence Jones is. But Kristi Noem, you know, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, she's been spending some time on horseback and along with our Border Patrol agents as well. She is the new Secretary of Homeland Security, you know, a secretary that actually cares about Homeland Security, unlike Alejandro Mayorkas, who opened up our borders to this invasion that we've seen take place in the last 4 years in particular. Did you guys see what some of the Democrats and some of the liberal media are saying and doing now? So here she is. She's on horseback. So she's, of course, she's got a cowboy hat on. And then, you know, she's been, you know, wearing body armor, tagging along with ICE as ICE has been going out and arresting these hardcore criminal illegal aliens. The reason I say hardcore criminal illegal aliens is because, yeah, any illegal alien is a criminal because they broke the law to get into this country. But the people that they are targeting right now are the hardcore criminal illegal aliens, and they'll get to the other criminal illegal aliens when they get to them. But anyway, the Democrats and some of the media, they're saying Kristi Noem needs to stop wearing these costumes. This is not Kristi Noem's first rodeo. She's been on horseback before. She wears cowboy hats all the time. She grew up on a ranch in South Dakota. If you've ever been to the National Finals Rodeo or watched it on television, as Cartman might say, you've seen Kristi Noem at, when she shows up, you know, bringing in the colors, bringing in the flag of the United States of America on horseback. But here these people are. You know, why is she wearing a costume? They love to bash real women, don't they? They love to bash real Western women, don't they? But these are the people who propped up Admiral Rachel Levine, the man who wore a military-looking costume in a senior position in U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. They love to prop up Lipstick Lex Luthor. Remember that guy? Remember that guy who had a senior Department of Energy position and a top secret security clearance? The guy who had a bald head, a creeper mustache, and bright red lipstick and a ball gown that he would wear around while he was stealing women's underwear from the luggage belt at the airport? Oh, they love those guys dressing up in costumes. But a real woman wears a real cowboy hat that she grew up wearing as a real rancher, and the left gets triggered. All right, we got a lot to talk about this morning. I think we've got Evelyn Pyburn. Good, she's on the phone lines. All right, we've got Evelyn Pyburn on the phone line, so we'll get back to business with the Big Sky Business Journal.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman, with areas of light snow across the area today. Accumulations from 2 to up to 4 inches expected around the region. High temperature readings will stay in the single digits above zero. For tonight, we'll see areas of light snow with another inch or so possible around the area. Low temperature readings will range around zero. Then we'll see more light snow showers Tuesday with additional accumulations expected. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
It's February 3rd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Day the Music Died. The day remembers the deaths of rock and roll singers Buddy Holly,
hey,
Richie Valens, and J.P. Richardson, perhaps better known as the Big Bopper. The three perished when their plane went down near Clear Lake, Iowa in 1959. Also on this date, in 1941, the U.S. Supreme Court upholds the federal wage and hour law, which set minimum wage and maximum work standards. The U.K. issued a set of stamps in 1998 commemorating Princess Diana, who died in a car crash in August of 1997. Born on this day in 1480, Spanish explorer Ferdinand Magellan, the first man to sail around the world. Hall of Fame quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, Fran Tarkenton, born in 1940. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
So there's more to this story about another rape suspect on an ICE hold in the jail in Bozeman, Montana. I started asking the question, how many people are in the jail in Bozeman on an immigration hold? There's a dozen of them. I got the full list. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, speaking of Bozeman, this is a must-see memorial in honor of fallen U.S. Marines is coming to Montana State University. Photos and more, MontanaTalks.com.
Are you?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it here. Every Monday, we get back to business, focus on business news and more. Great insight as well, always from Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, I didn't get a chance to see it yet, but I heard you had a great write-up in the Yellowstone County News focusing on, you know, the Metro Park and, you know, helping to get illegal aliens deported out of this country. But first, we always like to start with the good news. What's your top story when it comes to the good news this morning? And thanks for being with us.
Yes, no, it's my pleasure. Well, you know, this has been going on so long in Montana, it's almost not news, but we would quickly appreciate it if it were to reverse. Montana's unemployment has remained at an historic low at or below 3.4% for 42 consecutive months. It fell to 3.1% in December, down from 3.2% in the previous month, and a full point lower than the national unemployment rate. The number of unemployed workers increased by 715. Payroll jobs increased by 100 in December, with gains in accommodations and food service industry, and with declines in transportation, warehousing, and utilities. So it's just Montana's economy remains strong and going forward, and I guess this is just good news that just continues to be good news.
Yeah, job market's still strong, and how it's just continuously. I mean, here's Governor Gianforte entering his fifth year in office as governor, and it has just been solid every single step of the way. And I think it's no just coincidence that you've got a businessman in the governor's office, and now thankfully we've got a businessman back in the White House as well. I hope, you know, with all this talk about, you know, Canada and Mexico and tariffs and everything, I hope that this finally gives us the opportunity to really rebuild our industrial base, not just in America, but in Montana in particular, because I just keep thinking about how many sawmills we've lost here in Montana and the declines our timber industry has faced and how dependent we are on, you know, lumber coming out of Canada. And that should not be the case. You know, we should not have to worry about whether we're going to get housing supplies from Canada when we've got more than enough supply right here in our own backyard.
Yeah, that is certainly true. I mean, the ability of the liberals to destroy our timber industry is really, really a sad story, because we have so much potential to supply timber. I mean, it's just unreal to abandon it like we did for really no good reason. I mean, I think the only thing they really threw up was an owl that they said was threatened, and now then I have heard that the left is conceding that the owl was never threatened. It was just kind of a story they made up.
But yeah, the spotted owl was threatened because the barbed owl or the striped owl was mating with the spotted owl. So that's why the spotted owl numbers were going down, because they didn't consider the offspring of the spotted owl and the striped owl to be spotted owls. So that's what was to blame for the declining numbers of spotted owls, not the timber industry, but the radical environmentalists got what they wanted out of the deal. So to quote Harry Reid, it worked, didn't it? Right?
Right. And I think we are, as strong as our state is now, economically speaking, I think that lack of the timber industry still hurts us in really big ways that doesn't really get calculated. And, I mean, Montana's a huge state. We can raise timber without being in the midst of some owl someplace, but they had to shut it down in the whole state. And I hope it gets reversed, but that's saying a lot, because it's really very difficult to rebuild an industry after you've decimated all of its infrastructure like has happened.
Yeah, great point. And, you know, I'd love to see. I really think Western Montana needs this in particular right now. We really need to rebuild. Well, Eastern Montana needs it too. I mean, the rural parts. But it's like, okay, so the Western Montana economy is partially doing so well because a lot of people that have moved in and fueled the economy on that front. And then you're seeing some other positive business news as well. But we've got to restore that industrial base. And so for those good jobs, for folks that maybe don't want to work in high tech or something like that. And so, you know, and it's not just timber, it's getting those mines up and running near Libby. And first step to get that done is to get these liberal federal judges, you know, out of the way and get some new federal judges in there. And so hopefully with every retirement that moves forward, President Trump and our senators in particular here in Montana, liberty to get some new judges into those positions, because they really are, I think, the source of so much economic harm that we've seen here in Montana, and why everyday working class Montanans feel like they were kicked to the curb over the last few decades.
I mean, while the judges and the poor decisions and politics have a lot of impact, I don't think they would have so much impact if people really understood some of the ins and outs of these industries. I mean, what sense does it make to shut down mines when everything that the left wants is so dependent upon those minerals? But
exactly, yeah. You know, great point. Hold that thought. I see we got to take a quick break here, get to the Farm and Ranch Report, and then back to Evelyn right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
What will tariffs do to the economy? You'll find people who answer that question with a shrug, and others who will answer with a number. Perhaps the real answer is somewhere in between. But in the daily barrage of tariff details bandied about, one thing is certain, and that is the amount of uncertainty has increased markedly. In the boxing ring or playing a poker game, creating uncertainty might be a winning strategy. But for economic management, creating an environment for forward-looking investment, it's toxic. Even if tariffs never ultimately happen, and the odds of that are very low, the saber-rattling rhetoric has already done damage. Countries and companies everywhere are preparing for a trade war. They're directing resources into stockpiling imports and reviewing how they source their products throughout their supply chains. Countries are busy studying the best ways to retaliate. Those actions may be prudent, but collectively they're a deadweight loss. And these losses are occurring even if the sabers are never actually drawn. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
2 weeks into the new Trump presidency, members of the president's administration say his goal to secure the border is making significant progress. Border czar Tom Homan on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures.
The crossings on the border are down 93%.
Some have been surprised by the tariffs enacted by the president against Canada for a lack of help on the northern border. But Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, appearing Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press, said the Canadians have work to do.
We have people coming into our country from China, from foreign countries. We have people on the terrorist watch list that come in over our northern border.
Noem also described some of the people who have been deported thus far, saying many had warrants for crimes such as murder, rape, and assault. And at this point, no one should be surprised.
The president has been very clear from the beginning that there's a new sheriff in town, that he's going to make sure he's putting Americans first.
Kimberly Retzman, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
USDA's January 1st cattle inventory report was down 1% compared to a year ago. The annual report was released Friday, and the inventory totaled 86.7 million head, 1% below 87.2 million head last year. USDA livestock analyst Mike McConnell.
7 of our 11 western states experiencing D3 or D4 on the U.S. drought monitor. That coverage is led by Wyoming at 22% drought coverage of D3 or D4, followed by Arizona at 21%. Also in double digits at the end of January, we have Nevada coming in at 11% with extreme or exceptional drought. And California, on the strength of that significant drought in the southern part of the state, 12% of California experiencing extreme drought at the end of January. Some of that D3 and D4 extends onto the plains. Texas, 16% coverage of extreme or exceptional drought, along with 8% in Nebraska and 4 to 5% in the Dakotas. We still have extreme drought coverage, D3 in 34% of New Jersey and 9% of Delaware.
While states like Wyoming saw a 3% decrease in cattle herd inventory, Montana saw a 1% increase to 2.16 million head. However, that still remains well below the 2017 level of 2.65 million head of cattle. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, I know you've got several great business news headlines for us here this morning. But if you're up for talking a little bit more about it, I heard you had a great write-up in the Yellowstone County News kind of talking about, this whole idea of using the offer that was put out to use the Metro Park as a temporary holding facility for ICE to use to temporarily hold these illegal aliens before shipping them out of here. It wouldn't be any sort of a long-term detention facility. It would just be short-term, quick, get them in, get them out. It's over with. But really, I mean, the proposal doesn't sound like it's going anywhere. It was simply an offer. There's nothing that sounds like it's actually going to happen. But yet, look at these radical left-wing pro-illegal alien activists that are trying to make, much ado about nothing, frankly, and exposing how I think they're really just being, witting or unwitting friends of the drug cartels. But anyway, what do you want to share about that story? I heard you had a great write-up.
Well, thank you. It was long. I just think that in watching it, it becomes very clear that it is a very orchestrated, organized, political maneuver to, just to try to thwart the effort of removing, for the commissioners, the primary concern is, of course, they want to remove those criminals that are illegal aliens or illegal immigrants, because they are causing a lot of harm in not just our community, but in our country, especially when you start calculating in the deaths from drugs and so forth that have become so much more prevalent and are being pushed by cartels and the, illegal immigrants. And it is so amazing to watch the people as they, got up and spoke and everything, and how adept they are at carefully avoiding mentioning any of the reasons that the commissioners want to remove the illegal immigrants. When a couple people made very compelling statements regarding the negative impacts, especially Stacey Zinn, there was not one word of understanding or accepting of those issues as something our leadership should be concerned about. And I think that says more than anything that this is primarily a political movement. All the signs and everything also, spoke very, clearly that it was.
So it was pretty obvious to you. This was yeah. phony. This was AstroTurf, not real grassroots. This is just, and you know, I've even noticed. You recognize some of these names after a while, where it's like, oh, that person is the same person who was at this protest. That person is the same person who's pushing the transgender targeting kids agenda. And they're also, you know, they were at the defund the police rallies. And then, oh, they, and it's like, I finally just called, well, some of these people jumped on my Facebook page, facebook.com/Flint Report. And I just started calling these people out. You can't sit here and pretend to be concerned about missing and murdered indigenous women and then at the same time show up in support of illegal aliens and not deporting drug cartel operatives that are targeting Native American women. But it's just like when Rush Limbaugh wore all the ribbons. I wear all these ribbons because I care more than you do. And it doesn't matter if this ribbon conflicts with the other ribbon.
Right. That's a very good point about the impact that they've had on the reservations. And undoubtedly, many of the missing persons and stuff, I'm sure that they have their connections to illegal drugs and human trafficking. There was no real mention of that. They made it sound like... the reasons our jails were full is because Native Americans are being arrested disproportionately, and that if we release them, then we would have room for, you know, drug traffickers and stuff. But
it's so crazy, except for some of the Native Americans that are behind bars right now were working with the drug cartel operatives in the spear sighting case in particular. So it's just like, yeah, again. These are just woke left-wing activists that are flacking for the illegal aliens, and they'll show up wearing whatever the ribbon is of the day, and they'll show up protesting whatever the flavor of the month is, and it's so phony, it's so obvious. I think people saw through it too. Plus, it was such a tiny little protest on a beautiful Saturday, Sunday.
It made it seem good, but. I don't hear it around town. I don't think that people were opposed to what the commissioners did. I should very specifically say Mark Morris wrote the letter.
Yeah.
Because not all of the commissioners signed it, which is, you know, had they done that, then they would be, subject to, well, there wasn't.
Senior FBI ranks resign or get fired. We're going to talk about that story in just a few minutes with Ashley Smith Thomas. But first, we've got a couple more minutes here. Hopefully, Evelyn, do you mind sticking around for a couple more minutes? Because I definitely want to get your take on some more of the business news headlines out there as well.
Sure.
All right. Well, what stand out to you? Some other business headlines. I see Americans are worried about energy. You've got President Trump's executive order bringing wind power projects to a halt. That might be some good news for our friends in eastern Montana.
Well, yes. I mean, I think it's particularly good in that people, how much are the alternative energy industry, how much that is dependent upon subsidies, I don't think is fully understood, and how significant that is. It says that the energy industry, the alternative energies, are not marketable. They're not. They don't have any footing in the marketplace unless we pump lots of taxpayer funds into them to sustain them. And so I think it. It is a good. It's really a good thing for the alternative energies, if they are required to become marketable. Because I mean, there's some good ideas that would surely have potential in the future, but they have to be sound. And by removing the subsidies, innovators and investors, they have a reason then to make them marketable without subsidies and become real alternatives. And I think that I have heard some times some of these projects are almost 100% paid for by subsidies before they ever go online. And that's, it's just not good for the energy industry. And I think that, I think this is an action that's long overdue. And, I mean, the very fact that the media, when they report on a new energy project, they don't tell you, oh, this is subsidized, you know, 40% or 80% or whatever. They never go into the numbers and let taxpayers know how much they're supporting these things. So
exactly. And the special perks and the special tax breaks that, say, wind power projects might get in specific areas. And then you got to deal with the blight. And, you know, what do we love about Montana? The big sky, and then now you got the red lights and everything, and it's like, wow, thanks for ruining that view for, you know, a small amount of energy that we could already get from other sources. All right, Evelyn Pyburn, great to chat with you as always. Hey, there's a lot more business news where that came from. Sign up for the Big Sky Business Journal Hot Sheet. Keep your eye out for the print edition or subscribe to the print edition as well. That's got a ton of information in it every week. Ashley Smith-Thomas up next.
Are you feeling...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we should have Ashley Smith-Thomas with us here any minute. But in the meantime, while we await her phone call here, man, there's so much to talk about. If you want to talk more about the weather, the snow, the single-digit temperatures, whether they're above zero or below zero, at the very opener of the show this morning, about an hour and a half ago, we had the National Weather Service office out of Billings join us on the show, talk about their coverage area and what they're hearing elsewhere across the state. Plus, we hit some of the highlights via X and the Montana weather hashtag. But yeah, basically, you're seeing parts of the state just get hit with a lot of snow. They're expecting over the next 48 hours the snow that the Billings area is seeing. They're going to start to see more snow in the Great Falls area and then pushing up into northeastern Montana as well. Wind chills could be as low as 40 below zero, according to the National Weather Service office in Glasgow. So that gives you just kind of a quick highlight of what things are looking like. I know for me, I broke out the snow blower last night around 8 o'clock. There was a gap in the snowfall and cleaned off the sidewalks in the driveway, and by O-Dark 30 this morning, you wouldn't know that that any of the snow was removed, because that's how much fell overnight in my neck of the woods. All right, we've got Ashley Smith-Thomas on the phone lines with us right now, the founder and CEO of Freedoms Fund USA. Ashley, before we get into the topic of the day here, you know, President Trump telling senior FBI ranks resign or be fired. What a weekend in Trump world. So many victories that were delivered by President Trump and his team just in the last 48 hours alone, from Panama to our Venezuelan hostages, is what I'm calling them, brought back home to America, the border numbers dropping by 93%, and on and on.
Absolutely. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens over, you know, today, particularly, like you mentioned, what happened over the weekend with the tariffs, 25% to Mexico and Canada, 10% to China. President Trump had mentioned that there would be short-term pain because it is expected that there will be price increase, particularly when we have imported goods coming from Mexico, from Canada, and from China. But when it was interesting when I was looking at people's comments on social media, because I was curious to see, okay, is this going to hurt him politically? You know, what's going to happen here? It was interesting because a lot of more of your MAGA supporters had stated, from what I was seeing online, was that they would rather take the increase if that meant a secure nation. And I thought that to be really interesting, because you look at what's happening with Mexico, The whole intent of these tariffs is to apply pressure, particularly with Mexico, to stop the illegal immigration and the fentanyl from coming across our border. I also think, too, it's a good test of the new president of Mexico. She talks a tough game, but what is she going to do? Is she going to come to the table and actually have a trade discussion with the Trump administration? Is she going to stop the flow of illegal immigrants from coming up through Mexico to our border? Is she going to stand up to the cartel and say enough? So it's going to be really interesting. I think this is a good test for her. In regards to Canada, that in itself is interesting because I know Trudeau was looking at resigning. I really don't know necessarily how this is going to impact Canada other than it will impact us here in the States, particularly when we have trade like lumber coming from Canada. Regarding China, the 10% tariffs of imported goods, I think we'll feel some of the effects of that. But I think, again, this is a good opportunity for the Trump administration to basically just put a little bit of a dig into China to try and get them into line, especially with their involvement with the border crisis as well. So it's going to be an interesting few days. I do expect there to be increase in price. I know it's going to impact a lot of Americans, given the fact that we have the inflation due to the Biden administration, but sometimes short-term pain is going to provide long-term positive results. So, again, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here in the coming days and weeks.
Yeah, I did see Politico, the left-leaning Politico, is reporting that that President Trump and Trudeau, the pretty little prime minister of Canada, and Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum are having what they describe as 11th hour talks today. But hey, he made similar threats to Panama over China basically controlling both ends of the Panama Canal. And look at the big news delivered by Secretary of State Marco Rubio over the weekend. Panama is now saying, okay, we're going to end these deals with China and we're going to stop charging these massive fees to American Navy vessels that come through the Panama Canal. And so his strategy is working. All right, what about the FBI? I've worked with great FBI agents during my time overseas, especially some of the special agent bomb techs. Those guys were just incredible. But it's really the senior political echelon back at the headquarters in Washington that have become these political animals, and they abuse their positions of power to go after the American people and to go after President Donald J. Trump. I mean, how interesting is it? I mean, they're not just going after, you know, two or three guys at the top of the FBI. They're also, you know, bringing some accountability to the people that took part in, I won't use the words I described it since we're in polite company, but they basically raided Melania Trump's, you know, drawers and went through her. And it's like, And now they're being held accountable, it sounds like.
Absolutely. So according to Fox News on Friday, the Trump administration told top officials at the FBI that either they need to resign or lose their job. So the exact number has not been disclosed, but this ultimatum was allegedly given to senior employees that were promoted under former FBI Director Christopher Wray. What is really interesting is that the Justice Department, under the leadership appointed by the Trump administration, right now he has appointed an acting FBI director and an acting attorney general, has asked for information about potentially thousands of FBI employees across the country who are involved in work related to investigations stemming from January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol there in 2021 and a Hamas-related case filed last year in New York. So it's not really clear why there's such an interest in this Hamas-related case. But it's interesting because according to ABC News, the acting FBI director, Brian Driscoll, wrote an email basically outlining to the employees that this is what's coming. And the email noted that eight senior FBI executives were also to be terminated. And several sources had told ABC News on Friday that the Trump admin is compiling a list of agents and other FBI officials from around the country who they believe should be fired or forced to resign in the coming days. Also, there was separately about 40 prosecutors in the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia that had previously worked on the J6 case were also dismissed on Friday by the acting U.S. Attorney Ed Martin. So in the Oval Office on Friday, President Trump, he was asked by reporters about the Justice Department employees who may be fired or forced out in the coming days. he said it'd be a good thing. And he stated, quote, if they fired some people over there, that's a good thing because they were very bad. They used the Justice Department to correct their political opponents, which in itself is illegal, end quote. And he also brought up the fact that the DOJ has been weaponized at a level that nobody has seen before. So I think what we are witnessing here is truly what the mandate of the American people was to the Trump administration, that was to drain the swamp. And so
that's
I
right.
think you're really
and there were,
a huge assessment.
And there were some of these FBI agents who stood up and said, hey, this is a violation of the law. This is a violation of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. What you are ordering us to do here, I will not take part in this. And they stood up and did the right thing. And they were punished over it. And so every single one of these people had a choice, you know, and how could you not, you know, when you see Secret Service standing there and you're being told to go raid the home of the president of the of a previous president of the United States and not just say, OK, this is over the line. This is over the top. And so that's why those people, I think, will be held accountable. But what we're also seeing here is that we know that there are a number of incredible people that work and serve in our federal government across these law enforcement agencies, because otherwise we would not be seeing these successful DEA raids, these ICE operations. I mean, what we are seeing in the military and what they're already doing, we can tell that a lot of these folks, that they were taking notes and they were writing down names and they were crafting plans and operations ready to execute once President Trump got into place, because that's why we're seeing just a stunning display of the law finally being enforced against criminal illegal aliens and others here in the first 2 weeks.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think, too, and I'm glad you brought up, there's so many good individuals that are working in the law enforcement capacity, whether that's the DEA, FBI, you know, DHS, all these other entities. And I think what we're witnessing right here with President Trump is that his team is cleaning up D.C. Again, that was a campaign promise that he made. And removing federal employees who will not do their job and refuse to work on behalf of the American people, but rather their own agenda. And again, we saw that so many times, time and time again, under the Obama administration and the Biden administration. And I feel like it was accelerated under Biden, because particularly when the Biden administration weaponized and politicized the DOJ and FBI for political outcomes, meaning the fact that
they kept getting away with it. So they kept pressing even further and crossing the line even further. I got to hit the hard break. Ashley Smith-Thomas, always appreciate your time and your insight. Thanks so much for being with us. Sorry, I got to hit the hard break, but
no,
yeah.
Good.
All right. Always
thank
great to catch up with you. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Go. With more than 600 new items on shelves, Amazon Go makes it easy to handle whatever today has in store. Because where else can you drop off an Amazon return and pick up a freshly baked pizza for dinner? Or grab Nitro Cold Brews for now, plus made-to-order sandwiches for later? Or find must-haves like milk and eggs alongside really wants like Froyo and sushi? Stop by your newly renovated Amazon Go in Mill Creek and handle whatever today has in store.
Fox News commentary.
Target will scale back its DEI initiatives and woke customers are not happy. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's the Will King Show.
Ideological goals like climate change, green initiatives. Because attention and resources are a finite game, they are diverted. It is pulled away from the priorities that matter to citizens directly. When you pay your taxes, there are certain things that you have a right to expect. Police protection, emergency response. Anything given to misplaced priorities ends up something that can hurt citizens when they need their government.
Streaming live 12 p.m. Eastern weekdays on FoxNews.com and the Fox News YouTube channel.
Next to Bud Light, Target may be one of the most outwardly woke companies of the last 10 years. From giant pride displays to junk-tucking underwear and more, Target has led the charge on all things woke. But that could all be changing, at least when it comes to the company's DEI initiatives. Following in the footsteps of countless other businesses, Target vowed to end its DEI program this year. Not only that, Target will also discontinue its Racial Equity Action and Change initiative that sought to invest millions in black-owned businesses exclusively. So while it might come as a major shock to the system for some on the woke side, all Target is really doing here is getting back to common sense and merit-based practices. Target has already taken heat for this return to normalcy, with some vowing to boycott the retailer. Odd that some don't want to patron an establishment that simply returns to the core value of product over activism. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With areas of light snow across the area today, accumulations from 2 to up to 4 inches expected around the region. High temperature readings will stay in the single digits above zero. For tonight, we'll see areas of light snow with another inch or so possible around the area. Low temperature readings will range around zero. Then we'll see more light snow showers Tuesday with additional accumulations expected. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to Real Deal.
Visit izervay.com. That's izervay.com.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Whoa, hey, thanks to Representative Lucas Schubert for sharing this one. He's the, is he even 19 years old yet? He may be 19 now, but he was 18 when he was running for the state legislature. And he did a great job calling into this show. I think that's why he was successful in his race, is because he was calling into Montana Talks very often. But anyway, and using his full name, hey, this is my name, this is what I'm running for. Anyway, here's a story. I'll save this one for the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Citizen reports lead to multiple Border Patrol arrests in, wait for it, Hungry Horse, Columbia Falls, and Thompson Falls, Montana. Caden, didn't we just have an illegal alien from Columbia Falls call the show last week? And now Border Patrol is arresting people in Columbia Falls, Thompson Falls, and Hungry Horse. Oh, man, you just love to see these reports. Can I make a random observation here? Just a random observation. And then, man, we got a lot we'll get to here in the next 2 hours of the show. I think we've got phone lines open for the entire next 2 hours. Let me double check here. Oh, we've got our legislative update with Henry Kriegel from Americans for Prosperity Montana. But other than that, we'll have phone lines open. We'll talk about the big news of the day and take your calls, you name it. But have you ever noticed how there's some of these left-wing activists who they say they're Native Americans, and they'll say, you're on stolen land. And so they will say that they don't care about illegal aliens coming to the United States of America because you're on stolen land. Well, actually, it's negotiated land. Actually, there were treaties that were negotiated between, you know, tribal nations and the U.S. government. And so I the reason why I throw this random observation out is because, well, first off, it's the drug cartels that are targeting Native American women because of our, thanks to our wide open southern borders. So if you're actually Native American and you care about missing and murdered indigenous women, you would be first in line to support ICE's efforts to get these criminal illegal aliens the heck out of this country. But the random observation I have is this. So the Missoulian had a news story a few days ago. Bill allowing non-natives to hunt private property on Flathead Reservation draws opposition. So if you are not a tribal member, you are not allowed to hunt deer or elk even on private property within the Flathead Reservation. So this is my question. If you think that we are on stolen land, not on negotiated land, backed up by treaties in which the U.S. government should support their treaty obligations to tribal nations, if those treaties don't matter, if these borders don't matter, and oh, by the way, one of the treaty obligations in many instances, depending on the treaty, is that our U.S. government will help protect the borders of our reservations. Well, they have a right, a treaty obligation to protect the borders of our reservations. So ICE deporting these criminal illegal aliens is just one more way to support our treaty obligations to tribal nations. But if you're one of these left-wing activist friends of the drug cartels on our reservations here in Montana, and you believe that we are all on stolen land and these treaties don't amount to anything and the laws don't matter and the borders don't matter, I guess people can hunt wherever they want to now, huh? I guess the if the borders don't matter, then why do borders matter when it comes to elk hunting and deer hunting? It's just a point. You want to go down that road? There's people that will go down that road. All right, let's see. Yeah, citizen reports lead to multiple Border Patrol arrests in Hungry Horse, Columbia Falls, and Thompson Falls. God, I wish I had about 12 more towns to name in that headline. It's a nonstop local TV report. Let's start with that good news coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour as our friends from the Flathead join us on KJJR Radio.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
What will tariffs do to the economy? You'll find people who answer that question with a shrug and others who will answer with a number. Perhaps the real answer is somewhere in between. But in the daily barrage of tariff details bandied about, one thing is certain, and that is the amount of uncertainty has increased markedly. In the boxing ring or playing a poker game, creating uncertainty might be a winning strategy. But for economic management, creating an environment for forward-looking investment, it's toxic. Even if tariffs never ultimately happen, and the odds of that are very low, the saber-rattling rhetoric has already done damage. Countries and companies everywhere are preparing for a trade war. They're directing resources into stockpiling imports and reviewing how they source their products throughout their supply chains. Countries are busy studying the best ways to retaliate. Those actions may be prudent, but collectively they're a deadweight loss. And these losses are occurring even if the sabers are never actually drawn. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.